Welcome to Let's Do Lunch,
a podcast about life, tech, trends,
Twitter rants, and whatever else comes up.
I'm Jared.
And I'm John. And you are the listener.
The chosen few, the proud, the bold.
Those who sift through a few NC-17 ratings to discover this, the finest jewel of discourse.
Those who don't really mind those sloppy eating sounds.
Who dare to join two average white nerds in a lunch conversation.
For the next hour, you're one of us.
Like, metaphorically, right? I'm still John?
Not now, John. Save the banter for the lunch.
Today on Let's Do Lunch.
Let's be clear. My wife is never invited to this podcast. I told myself it was a deer. It was definitely homeless, whatever it was.
I mean, this is quality broadcasting right here. Yeah, that's not going on this show.
All right. So, welcome to Let's Do Lunch.
Here we are.
I'm John, and you're Jared. Oh, yeah, I got that backwards. Dang
well,
it.
I mean, we'll get it down eventually. This is the rough cut.
So fast, I already screwed this up. So, we are at IHOP, otherwise known as the City Municipality of Pancakes. Or no, International House of Pancakes. Man, I'm just having so many issues today.
You're glitching today.
I think
you've got other things on your mind.
I do. We're good.
I'll have the Never Empty Coffee Pot. I would like it flavored even though it costs 30 cents more.
Wow, you're going bold today.
Yeah.
I'll have the Never Ending Cup of Water. And
Slick.
Yeah, that's my beverage. So today's Short Stack Day, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what's a short stack? Is that like three can?
Three pancakes.
Okay.
I'll do a side of bacon and eggs, if that's possible.
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to go a little healthier, I think. I'm just going to get two strips of turkey bacon.
Ho, ho, ho. All right.
So what brought us to IHOP today, John?
I believe it was the fact that it's Free Pancake Day, International Pancake Day, which has been going on for years.
And you never told me
this. I never let you know. Yeah, for some reason we even talked about IHOP in one of our podcasts.
And you never mentioned that there was a day where there's free pancakes just being thrown out at you.
Yeah.
How could you not mention this sooner, man?
I totally should have mentioned it
this whole time.
Yeah. Some people are terrible friends.
I'm disappointed. That's the only word I can think of is disappointment. Well, here and now, we're rectifying this. Although, I'm the one that told you about the free pancake day. You never did tell me.
And you were so verbose earlier, and all you can think of is disappointed.
Yeah, well, I lost all my good terms and words when we were not rolling. I can't speak today, man.
That's all right. We'll get the caffeine in you. No, you're flustered. You got a lot going on today. So not only are you getting free pancakes at the start of the day, but then we're going to split up and spend several hours apart from each other and then get back together
later
in the night and go see this new up-and-coming band that, like, you keep talking about that I guess you...
They're a little untried and untested, but I think there's a bright future in store for these young whippersnappers. I guess we should quit teasing and just get to who it is already.
One of them's named John.
And the other one's named John.
And there they might be giants.
They might be giants. In fact, I'm sure they are.
Someday they will be.
I don't understand why they're not more popular. I just don't get it.
You know, I enjoyed Flood when I listened to it, and I liked Dial a Song. They have like a 40 song CD about the Dial a Song, some of their best Dial a Songs.
No, that's a misnomer. The Dial a Song album is actually just the greatest hits.
Of the Dial a Song,
no,
right?
Just greatest hits.
Just greatest hits. They were never featured on Dial a Song.
Some may or may not have. Dial a Song went through a pretty long period of drought where it just didn't exist for a while.
Yeah.
But that Dial a Song album was a common misconception was that those were Dial a Song songs. They weren't. It was a greatest hits album.
Why would they even do that?
Very confusing for most people who aren't really in the loop.
Now that's messed up. That means you need to investigate to find out that your CD is a lie.
Well, to be fair, when they have the Dial a Song service, which is currently, by the way, revamped, you can go to dialasong.com or you can Google the phone number. There is the actual phone number still. But they are playing the songs from their albums in Dial-A-Song, as well as original content. But like that album, Dial-A-Song, was not original Dial-A-Song songs. They were songs from albums that may or may not have actually been on Dial-A-Song at any point.
Uh-huh. So, they're it should have been entitled Songs.
Yeah.
Instead of Dial-A-Song.
In my radio show, we do that. We call up the Dial-A-Song number, and instead of actually playing like the high-quality download that I get from them, because we're part of their radio network thing, so they send us the high-quality, you know, file that we can play on air, but we actually opt instead to call the phone number.
Sure, get those fuzzy bits in there.
And we record the phone call and then play that on the air instead to give it that Dial-A-Song vibe. It's kind of fun.
It's more true to life.
Yeah, it is.
You know? Nobody wants to hear a well-sampled audio recording.
You know, they had an interview once where they were talking about, like, their audio quality stuff, and I don't remember how they got there, but John F., the more known mouthpiece of the band.
I couldn't tell you which John is John and the other one is John. Like, well, I know they're both named John.
One John's, but the other one's
And I know one's kind of, one wears glasses and is a little more outspoken.
That's
than the
John
other
Flansburgh.
And the other one is kind of like playing the piano and hiding in the back.
And skinny, but they both share vocals almost equally. They're both very, in terms of songs, not talking on stage banter, but... So Flansburgh, the one with the glasses that talks more, he was saying in an interview that a lot of times when they're preparing stuff, like, they'll copy little blips and samples, and they'll do some work independently of each other sometimes, and email it back and forth in MP3 format.
Sure.
And a lot of that stuff ends up making it to the final cut. So he says, really, high downloads of our songs aren't really necessary, because a lot of the stuff you hear was probably an emailed MP3 at one point anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. We're talking too much about the MVP Giants for people who don't know who they are. It's
they should probably find out, because these are average white nerds that are probably listening in. You know, I feel like all of them. We have not just the listener, but we have other listeners. There was one guy I was talking to, said you do a really good job editing.
Well, that was very kind.
Yeah.
Just another
listener.
Well, that's cool.
I don't know if he wants me to drop a name. I suppose he probably wouldn't. You know, he seems like the type to prefer anonymity.
Well, I can show my editing skills by editing his name out.
Yeah.
So he'll be touched. He was remembered enough to be edited.
Yeah.
Ooh, short stacks.
Woohoo! Can I also
Thank
get
you.
A water and a Dr. Pepper?
Sure. I'll be right back with that.
Thank you.
Dr. Pepper and a coffee?
Are you
trying to get the jitters today?
Yes. Well, I need to catch up with you, because you're friggin' all over the place right now.
I'm a little wired today, aren't I?
I'm
excited.
I think you get these free pancakes, and you go nuts.
Hey, man, you don't get a free stack of pancakes very often. There's even four different flavors of syrup here.
That's IHOP.
Butter pecan, old fashioned, hot old fashioned. Is it really hot? It is not hot. Blueberry and strawberry. I'm going with butter pecan. That just sounds delicious.
Yeah, you're doing a commercial right now.
Am I? Well, you know what? They're giving me a free stack. The least I could do. And, you know, since I'm not a tipper, do they really think I'm going to be donating? I'm just saying. But we
should... children.
We should say it is for a good cause. They're asking you to still consider a donation in lieu of the pancakes.
That is so messed up. And you're like, nah. I'll just have my free pancakes.
I have my own children to support. So, let's move off of They Might Be Giants, because I could work 2 hours on them alone, and I shouldn't. I have something I want to let you know. One of the reasons why I'm super excited about eating this food in front of me...
There it is. Here it comes.
I haven't eaten food in over 24 hours.
Okay. That's a... That's not natural.
No. But it's true.
I have been also dieting. I don't know if you noticed. Oh, well, you've seen this right here.
I saw you posted something under the LDL podcast, or on the LDL
right
Twitter, which is funny because I also have not eaten food in the last 24 hours.
It's not that I've stopped eating. It's just that I've kept myself slightly hungry for a lot of the day.
Well, me too, obviously.
Not just slightly.
Yeah, well... I haven't not been consuming anything, but I haven't eaten any food. So let me clarify. I've been trying out a completely Soylent diet.
Are we talking about the shake guy?
Well, he doesn't shake that much. He lost weight.
There's a guy that was making these shakes that are supposed to be all of the nutrition that
Soylent.
You need. You're talking about that?
I am indeed.
I thought I mentioned that on like the first or second episode. I'm glad you're into it.
I ordered a pack of Soylent, and I am currently on a Soylent diet. So yesterday, I just got the order, so it's still new. I mean, it's been a day and a half. I started Sunday, and well, today's Tuesday, all day Monday, nothing but Soylent and water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that I had four bottles. I had one for lunch, one for breakfast, one for lunch, one for like a mid-afternoon snack when I had the lulls, and then one for dinner. And they're 400 calories a bottle, so 1,600 calories, less than 2,000.
Yeah.
So it's got to help you lose weight.
Yeah.
And I wasn't super hungry. I mean, I wasn't full. I was okay.
Yeah.
It was hard when I was feeding my kids dinner.
Yeah.
That was the hardest.
Because you're just sitting there watching them?
Because they're eating real food, and I'm just sipping a little Soylent. Have you ever tried Soylent yourself?
No. I was interested when I first read about it, but it seemed like a little dangerous because this was just a guy, you know?
Yeah.
This wasn't a group of people saying, here's your best choice.
Well, this guy...
It wasn't a corporation.
He's all SDA approved. He's got a full company now. He's got lots of people that have done 30-day challenges. And a few people have gone a full year with almost nothing but Soylent. Very little supplements other than that. There was a guy who was a runner, like a serious marathon runner, who went all Soylent. And after about 2 weeks, he did have to supplement a little bit of peanut butter to pick up the protein and energy a little bit. But that was it. And he survived. Just fine.
Like, he survived. Well, I love that.
You know, he got a little low on the energy before he supplemented with peanut butter. But by the end... He said he actually felt better by the end than when he started. So it panned out. So I'm excited to give this a go. I'm not going to go strict. I mean, obviously, I'm here enjoying a free short stack with you.
No, his philosophy is that food is for fun, not for eating. Like going to a restaurant, it's for the social experience.
It's a treat. I've also been watching my 600-pound life lately.
Uh-huh.
And between that and thinking about Soylent... I figured it was time for a change. So since you had last seen me, I've lost about 8 pounds.
Huh. Yeah.
Not bad, right?
I should have asked, have you lost weight?
I think I'm still in that Zen fatness where, you know, you still think I might be a little less fat than the last time you saw me. I think that's still, I'm not that skinny yet.
Yeah. No, I'm actually starting to lose a little too because I'm keeping myself on a slightly hunger. You know, just don't eat until I'm super full. Just, like, stop a little, save room for dessert, and then skip dessert.
Hmm. Never done that before. You know, there's something else I've done to change my diet.
Is the running?
Before Soylent. Well, there's the running. Although, I've been so busy lately that I've skipped a few nights, so I got to get back on track. But also, there's something I read about called time fasting. Have you heard of this?
No.
So... Fasting is where you just kind of force yourself to go hungry a little extra period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this time-restricted fasting is a little different. It's where you only let yourself eat within a certain window of time each day.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, from the time I start my first meal to the time I finish my last meal, no more than X amount of hours has to lapse. And they say that a lot of people, you know, think about it, you have breakfast at 6 a.m. before work, and then you have a late dinner as late as 8 p.m. sometimes. That's really bad for your body.
Is it?
Well, it's not great because when your stomach's full of junk, you're not digesting very well while you're sleeping. They say it's not good for your metabolism so much. But anyway, so I've read up a lot about it, and people are kind of a big proponent of this thing. They say that you want to aim for like a 10 to 8 window, 8-hour window for your food consumption. So I usually don't consume anything in the morning until 8 a.m., and I'm done eating by 6 p.m. every day. And I mean, even though I normally would let myself have a little cookie or snack or something in the evening, I just say, nope, it's after 6 p.m., I'm done. Nothing but water. I think that helps too.
Yeah.
So I'm combining all these different things at once.
Yeah.
I think I might not be Jabba the Hutt grotesque fat in the next year.
Well, here's the thing that I've been thinking about this lately is... 10 years ago, I was thinking, I need to lose 20 pounds, and I didn't do anything about it. actually maybe even 20 years ago. I'm like, you know, I got a little pooch. I could probably lose about 20 pounds. Haven't done anything about it all this time. So for the past 20 years, you know, I've added a little bit on and added a little bit on. So it's going to take maybe 5 years of hard work or 10 years of not hard work to get that all back off again.
You can't
expect to be at your ideal weight within 1 year.
I think you can expect to be at your ideal weight within 1 year if you honestly make life changes that you can stick with. You know, it's people who do the dramatic stuff all at once that fail because it's too dramatic, it's too much at once, it's not sustainable. But if you phase little things in that are workable, like I think I can easily, for the most part, sustain this 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. window thing. I think I can do that. I don't feel like that's a difficulty for me. And if I have a little rumbly in my tumbly at the end of the night, so be it. I can suffer through that a little bit. It's not a big deal. So that's something I think I can... Now, Soylent, I don't know how long...
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a permanent change.
I don't know how long I can keep that up. And I don't really expect to. And I don't expect to go full Soylent. You know, I'm going to mix and match. I might have dinner. Whenever I need to go out with friends, I'll enjoy myself and have some regular food. Good luck on your weight loss, although, honestly, you're not super in need of it.
I don't have as much work to do, but I've noticed that, like, you know, my cheeks are starting to pull in a little bit. And I actually started to look a little bigger at the bottom of my belly, but the top of my belly was pulling in a little bit.
What, you lose weight in your breasts first?
So, like, just under my rib cage, that'll start to suck in. Mm. And because there's that different, because the rest of the belly is still there, and this part is sucked in now, it actually looks like I've got more of a belly. And I think that's probably a part of the reason that some people get discouraged and feel like they're not going anywhere.
You know what could help with that? Is get breast implants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Suck it out of there and put it up there.
If you get breast implants, it'll enhance your chest and therefore minimize your stomach.
Greater tips. I've been talking about lip implants for a while. I think that would be much more successful. Because you can see that.
And where are you going to get the implants from that?
Nick Riviera.
I don't know him, but why is he donating fat for your lips?
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Hey, Dr. Nick. Well, that was a weird combination of Krusty and Nick. That didn't work. Hey, everybody. Hi.
Yeah, I think Krusty could probably afford a better doctor than Dr. Nick Riviera.
So could most of Springfield, but it doesn't seem to stop them. I think Dr. Nick's thing isn't that he's better than Dr. Hibbert. It's that he'll do the riskier stuff that Dr. Hibbert wouldn't touch. I think that's his deal. You know, he'll do the experimental...
When you say riskier, you mean the stuff that could kill people and he hasn't researched?
Well, to name a few, yes.
Although Hibbert does have his dark side. You know, a healthy baby could... net upwards of $10,000.
And he and his wife are into S&M, which is something they've explored a little bit. I'm just saying, it detracts from that wholesome doctor vibe a little. I mean, I didn't mean to get too personal, because I know you and your wife. I mean...
Yeah, that's not going on this show.
good times.
I mean, who hasn't experimented with a little bit of, you know, flag pulling?
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? I am so out of the loop.
Hey, this is John. That was just the appetizer. You want a full course meal? Keep listening.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Bodine Tech. Bodine Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Bodine Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Bodine Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.
I have something else that we have to... I would say print a retraction, but we don't really print. In our last apostrophe cast, we said that we were talking about bands that say they're going to leave and then end up coming back with I'm back tour. Mm-hmm. And I'd mentioned, for some reason, of all the bands I could have mentioned, I mentioned the Spice Girls as one of the ones that kind of called it quits in the late 90s or early 2000s. Mm-hmm. They did the quick thing for the Olympics in England, and that was it. Yeah. They still were actually done.
I thought they had come back.
They just announced it recently that they are officially coming back, and Victoria Spice was the last holdout. Now she's on board.
Because they're listeners.
So either I'm affecting global things, or I just, the universe had me pick the one example that was going to come back and bite me in
Listen,
a week.
There's two possibilities here. Either the possibility that we're all kind of on the same wave, like the world is seeing the same stuff that we're seeing, and so that's why they're responding in the same way, because we're all human. But that implies some kind of great, like, cosmic force. Or they're listeners. And I think it's much more likely that they're listeners.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? What else? There's nothing else to explain it.
Yeah. I mean, this is quality broadcasting right here. You don't... Where else can you get those sloppy eating sounds?
So, at the... At risk of offending the Spice Girls, how would you rank them in order of
greatness?
I have
no idea.
Greatness?
I don't know any of this. I don't know a single one of them. I really don't.
You should have come with Josh and I to see their concert in 1997.
Someone didn't invite me 15 years ago. 20 years ago.
I'll talk to Josh about that. That was really on him.
Yeah, because he lived right next door to me. We lived in the same apartment complex.
You did?
Yeah.
I thought you lived somewhere else.
I moved around.
Oh, okay.
But for a long time, I lived in the same complex as him.
I did not know that.
I used to bike into school, and he was always faster than me. And he kind of looked more adult than us.
He does.
Like, all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I gotta catch this. I gotta catch this 20-year-old that's biking into work. I gotta catch him. And he'd always pass me.
He actually called in school to excuse me a couple times, because he sounded so much like a dad. It's good to have a friend with a maturity, accelerated
maturity. Yeah, that's straight out of Ferris Bueller.
But yeah, so I'm excited to see them come back on tour. Seeing as how they were my first concert ever.
Is that really a nostalgia thing for you? Like, you're into the Spice Girls?
Not so much, but I have... When I first started radio is when they were first up and coming.
Uh-huh.
So I played them on the air a lot. I was at that target demographic age, except the wrong gender, for a lot of their career.
Still, like... Just because you're not the right gender doesn't mean you can't, like, appreciate the music.
And it
doesn't mean you can't appreciate the fans of the music.
Yeah. Well, I felt a little creepy when I went to their concert in 97.
Yeah.
Because Josh and I were there surrounded by, like, hundreds, maybe thousands of 12-year-old little girls dressed up like prostitutes. It was really awkward.
We went to the Marquee to see Bastille. You know Bastille?
Mm-hmm.
If you close your eyes. Ayo, ayo. And it was... This was 420. This was March 20th. The weed day of days. So I'm like, we're going to get contact highs. This was me and my wife there.
Is that why you went?
No.
Oh.
No, I actually didn't want to. I've never done the Mary Jane.
Wow.
I have been in a garage where, like, six other people smoked it, so I have gotten, like, contact highs. And I have rolled a joint for a friend.
Oh, yeah.
And picked out all the seeds, and I have never partook. I've never partook of that stuff.
Good for you.
Yeah. And it's legal now in many states, so, I mean, I should.
Just because it's legal doesn't mean you should. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It means once, what was the Lovejoy quote? Once the government approves something...
It's no longer immoral.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the gambling episode, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So we go up to Bastille on 420, and I'm expecting a bunch of secondhand, and it was all 14-year-olds there. And, of course, none of them were going to touch marijuana.
Uh-huh. I find that surprising, because I don't see Bastille... as a huge teeny bopper act.
Oh, yeah, the girls love him. Okay. The lead singer, he's adorable and kitschy or whatever the girls call them these days.
I mean, I guess the girls are still, like, hot on, like, the lead singer of Green Day. And that dude is, like, 50 now.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that rock star thing compensates a lot.
Or the Smashing Pumpkins guy.
Billy Corgan?
Apparently he's into the chemtrails. He might be a flat earther. I think he might be a flat earther.
No. I highly doubt that.
I know he does the chemtrails.
I find it odd if someone both believes in global warming and flat Earth simultaneously. Because those are two polar ends of the scientific spectrum. And I know he believes in global warming because his cover to the album Zeitgeist had the Statue of Liberty
flooded, basically.
Well, maybe that was just a cool image that a friend drew for him. And he's like, hey, let's put it on there.
Actually, the guy who drew it for him was the Obey Giant guy.
I don't know.
You know the Andre the Giant Obey?
Oh, yeah,
that we were talking about, the meme?
Yeah.
That guy did the Obama poster.
Okay,
the blue and white thing, the change poster. He did that, and he did the cover to that Smashing Pumpkins album. He also did the cover to an album I like by Stone Temple Pilots when they made a sort of comeback about 5-7 years ago. Is it weird that I know that much about the Obey Giant dude?
No. Well, it is a little bit weird because when I first mentioned it to you, I mean, maybe I just phrased it wrong, but you had no idea what I was talking about.
That's because I knew of his later work. I actually didn't know the earlier Obey Giant thing.
Okay.
The Andre, I didn't. But there's a documentary, I think it's on Hulu, about him. I think the documentary is called Obey Giant.
Nice.
Check it out. You'll learn a lot about the dude.
I'm not a fan of documentaries.
He got sued by the Associated Press for that Obama change poster. Did you know that?
No.
They sued him because they said it was too much of a copy of a photograph they owned. What a mess. And he had so many legal problems from those Obey stickers he put everywhere.
Well, copyright is a problem in and of itself.
Yeah, but I mean, like something like the Associated Press, a news source, it's putting that stuff out there. They're a little too litigious.
They have to be. Or else people will steal their stuff, and China will steal their stuff and say, oh, we're the Associated Dress.
I can get this one. It's a low one anyway.
All right.
Then again, if you want to donate to the kids, maybe you should
pick
it up. I am so bad. I like being evil. I'm sorry, you got cut off. What were you saying?
I don't know.
Okay.
I did want to continue on one thing about the They Might Be Giants show.
Okay, I'm always happy to go back and circle.
If that's okay with you.
I can always circle around there.
Now, my favorite album was Flood and the Dial song. You sent me 100 songs, and I didn't download them.
Yeah.
You know, I just said, hey, thanks.
And I spent how many hours organizing this is the 100 songs that the Amphibian Giants fan needs to know.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you how many hours I spent doing that for you.
Yeah, no, I'm...
all for waste.
Uh-huh. And...
anyway.
So moving on. So I went to YouTube, and I typed in They Might Be Giants best songs, and they gave me 75 songs over the course of 20 minutes, so
how
I got to listen to
was that video.
I don't even
because
know.
These guys are so prolific. Every couple of years there's a whole other album with like 20 more songs.
They had Man It's So Loud in here, so it
that's like 2001.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty
not,
recent.
That's not what I call recent. Anyway,
So I enjoyed a couple of songs, but I need you to explain the palindrome. I need you to explain that, because I've listened to that palindrome like 60 times, and I have no idea how that's a palindrome, what he's saying.
Well, the name is sort of a palindrome if you look at the words, not the letters. Because the name of the song is I, palindrome,
No, the long palindrome. Sun, I, as baby, through the city, shady. And is it a wine? Is it a son of it? It's me, my son.
What?
Palindrome in I Palindrome I. I'll look up the lyrics.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, that one actually has a song that I've had to bleep for years and years.
Here we go. Son, I am able, she said, though you scare me. Watch, said I. Beloved, I said, watch me scare you, though, said she. Able am I, son.
It's a pretty awesome palindrome.
What?
I think it's more about the palindrome than the full-on message. But that's just that one part. Most of the song is actual, you know, she looked down and said my thoughts exactly. You know, that you son of a beep, I palindrome, I.
Is it in there?
I think you're looking at the wrong song.
No, this is I palindrome, I. And I am a snakehead eating the head on the opposite side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking the very beginning of the song. The you son of a bleep, I palindrome I.
Oh, there it
right
is.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't bleep that word anymore.
Well, and then the snakehead eating the head on the opposite side.
Yeah.
You know, it's just things are looping and palindrome-esque. And,
yeah.
But, you know,
I'm not going to be able to follow most of the songs But there are, like, I'm quite familiar with probably 20% of the songs that they're going to play.
Here's the folly of Vamp the Giant's newbies. They try and find the meaning of the songs, and if you're the guy that wants to know the meaning of a song, don't go to the MFP Giants, because you're not going to find much relief
and
there.
How in the world do these guys remember all of these songs all of these lyrics and all of these drum riffs? Think about the drummer that has to come up with a unique combination for every single song.
Well, I don't know how much they go there, but you know they have a lot of different instruments, too.
Yeah.
And they keep on learning new instruments as they go. I mean, they had an album, Join Us, and the song called Cloisonné. And John Linnell had to learn how to play the bass clarinet simply for that song, because they wanted that sound. And that's the only song I think he's ever played it for. So, I mean, is that kinky that I know that kind of thing?
No. Okay. I mean, yes. There's, like, just being a fan of They Might Be Giants puts you in the top 1% of geek.
Yes.
And then you're the top 1% of that 1%.
I may be. I mean,
I would say that there are many that are more knowledge about They Might Be Giants than you, but like they could fill this IHOP.
Yeah.
That's how many.
There are some people that are crazy
Two of them are named John.
Right. Well, I mean there's this one, like I'm part of a TMBG chat room on Facebook, a group. Uh-huh. We're called Miscellaneous Tea. And just that name alone separates those who really know They Might Be Giants from those who don't.
Yeah.
You don't understand that name.
Nope.
But I do. So that's part of how I found them. And that chat room, like, there's a girl there who uses her real first name, but her like Facebook name is her real first name and then Flansburg. Or Linnell. Linnell is her.
Okay.
That's the name of one of the two Johns.
Yeah.
So I don't think her real last name is Linnell. I'm pretty sure it's one of those girls fantasizing marrying John Linnell.
Yeah. That sounds dangerous.
It does. And I'm not, like, crazy stalkerish. In fact, I've only seen them in concert once in my life up to this point.
Yeah, this will be number two.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm super excited. Living in Guam separates you from
the
ability.
Why didn't they come to Guam?
I tried. I actually reached out to them and asked them. And you know what they did? They went to Australia. I was like, well, close, but kind of still far from me. Thanks anyway.
You should have gone to Australia. That's a nice country. We're actually going to go...
I've been to Australia.
We're going to go this summer.
Are you?
Yeah, we went... We tried to get out of the state because it was hot last summer. And so we went to the northeast, like Pennsylvania and Connecticut and around there.
Yeah.
And it was like 92 degrees and humid. So it was almost as bad as the 115, 120 down here. And so we came back and we're like, wow, it's still hot. So let's plan another trip. So we go to Tennessee and it was 90 degrees and humid.
Wow.
And we're like, forget that. Next year we're going to cross the equator. Try and follow us across the... So,
when I went to Australia... I did a few things. One is I did flush the toilet to see which way it would go down the drain.
Any Simpsons fan has to do that.
I had that. Also,
I have video of that.
Do you really? Yeah. But I have a machine that corrects it. So, but I also, I didn't think about it. It just didn't occur to me to think about the whole summer-winter reversal thing.
Yeah.
And I went there in our summer.
Uh-huh.
Did not pack any warm clothes.
Okay.
And I was freezing my tuchus off.
Absolutely.
I was so cold. And even though it kind of occurred to me, I mean, I knew about it, right? But just, no one thinks of Australia as a place that's that cold anyway, year round. You never think it's going to snow.
Depends on how south you go. If you're going to Tasmania or Sydney, then
yeah. I was in Sydney. So it was a little south, yeah. But no one thinks of Sydney as a cold place, ever. You never think of a Christmas movie about snowing in Sydney. Like, it's just not a thing. So, I didn't think I'd get that cold, and I took the River Cats, and I was outside on the River Cat, and it was a little sprinkly even, and I was just like an ice cube up there. I'm like, I really should have worn a coat.
Yep.
I didn't own a coat at the time, because I lived in Hawaii, so it wasn't like I had one to bring anyway,
right?
But still.
You could have bought one.
Well, if I ever go back to Australia, I will probably do it. Mm-hmm. In the same time of year, because I like cold.
I had a beer there. I don't like beer at all.
But you just had to?
You have to when you go to Australia.
The Foster's, it's like the size of an entire, like, pint?
It was a normal glass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't like Foster's over there. They don't like Outback over there.
Well, I know they don't like Outback, but they don't like Foster's.
No, Foster's is...
But that's Australian for beers.
Says the advertisers.
I feel very duped.
I went to a casino, and this was about Christmas time, and they had some frosted Christmas trees with, like, spray-painted foam so it looked like snow, and then a white kangaroo. Not an actual white kangaroo, but a little model.
Does this mean they don't like fortune cookies in China?
Huh.
Sorry, I got sidetracked.
We'll have to go and find out.
So was this white kangaroo also spray-painted, or was he actually white?
No, it wasn't an actual kangaroo. It was,
oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just a little stuffed teddy bear model thing.
Well, for all I know, this kangaroo is running wild in the streets. That's what Hollywood would have you believe.
It's like deer.
It is kind of like deer over there, but not so much in the streets of Sydney. I mean, they don't really see them in the populated area.
Right, just like you don't find deer in the streets of, like, Phoenix.
Well, actually, long story. But
you hit one?
I told myself it was a deer. It was definitely homeless, whatever it was. Moving on.
Our run had to get changed.
Oh, yeah.
So we're no longer going to do the Donut Judge Me. If any of our listener is going to come and support us on the Donut Judge Me run, we're not going to be doing that
anymore. So that means you're welcome to judge us once again.
Yeah.
And when are we doing that again?
We're instead going to do the Cookies and Milk run. And I want to say it's April 14th, somewhere around there.
Yeah, April 14th.
So the Cookies and Milk run comes with a free ticket to Big Surf. And so that's why we're doing it.
Well, I remember that they actually had real sand when you would, like, they had, like, a wave pool, like these big giant wave pools, and, you know, Sunsplash has one. But apparently, I remember for some reason that they had one too, but theirs had real sand when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and it would burn your feet like the dickens every time you went there. I was like, you know, it's a cool idea, but it's too hot in the summer.
Yeah.
Just don't use it.
No, we had, so I texted you saying that, you know, the 5K sold out and that we can't do that other 5K. And you're like, why, how does a 5K sell out? Well, these things are amazing and fun. Like, I'm wearing a shirt from a run.
I noticed that, a Disney run.
From the Castle to Chateau, where you do a half marathon in the States and you do a half marathon in Paris. And then they give you I had to buy the shirt, but they give you a cool medal for each of those.
So I did not realize you did that.
That's a part of the reason that we went, is so that we could go to Disneyland Paris and that I could run a half marathon in Disneyland Paris through the park.
Well, I plan on attending Disneyland without running this summer.
Well,
Disney World, actually, in Florida.
Well, if we build up your 5K and maybe get it up to a 10K, you could run through the park, get cheered on by, like, various things, meet costume characters, and then go walk through the park afterwards.
Meet costumes? They have meet costumes now?
Yeah, Lady Gaga has merged with Disney.
Oh, meet costume characters. Okay, wow. Yeah. The pausing is all important there.
It is. I forget where I was going because I mentioned we're doing the Cookies and Milk and we're doing the Sunsplash.
I distracted you. I'm too... I'm taking everything you say and running with it.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you off. my verbosity has returned. Is that a word? If you're verbose, does that mean you have verbosity?
Yes.
Okay, well, my verbosity has returned.
I see that. Now that you got some pancakes in you.
Yeah.
So because my cheeks have kind of sunk in a little bit, because, you know, I'm eating a little bit less. You know, today I ate a little bit more than I should have, but only a little bit more. I'm not, like, as full as I normally am after these lunches. So, you know, it makes you look a little bit sleeker, a little bit more aerodynamic. So I had a supervisor come up to me and say, "Hey, nice haircut." And I'm like, that hasn't changed.
That's funny.
So that was interesting.
So you want to keep going because then people will think you're bald.
Right. Oh, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
My whole family's got it. I'm going to be getting it.
Is that a thing in your future, baldness?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would give you some of mine, but I like having hair, so tough.
Yeah, you wouldn't give me any of yours. Come on.
No, I wouldn't.
No.
Plus, you don't want to be a redhead. Redheads do not have more fun.
George Washington was a redhead.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Did you see the same thing I saw?
No.
Oh, you just knew that?
I went to Mount Vernon with my daughter, who loves George Washington. and we asked various people, various staff there, can you tell me something strange, something new, something different about George Washington? And one of the people said he was a redhead.
Did it disappoint your daughter to find out he was a ginger?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she hasn't realized that you guys don't have souls.
That's true. It takes time to learn. You gotta... Yeah, that was a thing that kind of blew me away, too. His hair was not gray at all. It was all just powders and wig. Actually, he didn't wear a wig. It was powder. I found that out, too.
Yeah.
So he actually, if he was to shampoo his hair, which I'm sure it needed, get rid of all that palm olive crap and all that powder, he would have had red hair. Scary.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
So this is when we go to commercial, I think.
Oh, by now we would have had two commercials.
I wanna use that sometime when we have another guest as the conversation dies and we just say, and this is when we go to commercial.
We'll be back.
And then we just sit here.
And the guest starts speaking, be like, wait. He's gonna be so confused. He's like, I thought we weren't what? Okay. And we would like get on our watches and do like a solid 3 minutes of just looking at our watches silently, not saying a word. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's seriously do that next time we have a guest.
Absolutely. I've got a couple of people that I could probably talk into doing it.
Let's Do Lunch is brought to you in part by the Heimlich Maneuver, saving dinner conversations since 1855.
When you first told me about you getting other tickets and that your wife is coming along, I thought you meant to this, and that if we wanted to invite my wife along too, to this.
To our podcast.
Where they could just sit in silence and eat some pancakes, and
no,
I'm like...
Let's be clear, my wife is never invited to this podcast. That probably doesn't sound good, but
That'll get edited in post.
So, you know how like I say that kind of stuff, like, oh, it's good thing my wife isn't listening.
Yeah,
I do the same shtick in my radio show.
Sure.
And there's a song called "If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life, Never Make a Pretty Woman Your Wife."
Uh huh.
And I think you know where this is going. So my co-host says, you know, how do you feel about that song? And I said, well, let's just say I got all of my marital tips from this song. As a joke, of course, right? He's like, oh, you better hope your wife never listens. And I'm like, trust me, my wife never listens. Well, it just so happened that because that show is repeated later in the day, my wife and I happened to have been in the car running errands. And as soon as we turned on the car, when it was already on that radio station, on that frequency, she heard that line. The only part of the whole show she's ever listened to. I'm like, oh, man.
So that's...
That's irony.
That's... Some might call that, you know, divine intervention.
Yeah. So I got to be careful about saying things about my wife anymore. Because it seems like no matter what I do, eventually it's going to come back to bite me.
That's correct. Listen, you cannot, like, there's all of these movies and TV shows with guys, like, cheating and doing things behind girls' back. That does not work. That doesn't happen. Women figure stuff out.
They do, unfortunately. Yeah.
They have, like, brains, and they think
about
things.
I've heard about that somewhere. Some guy at NPR was talking about it, so I believed it.
I was dealing a couple of days ago, and somebody mentioned that, like, you know, offhandedly that they were working on an app. And I'm like, I'm not going to download that because of all of the permissions. You know, you gotta agree to all of these things. And he said permission schmermission, which I'm like, that's stupid. But it also got me thinking for an invention. An app that you can download for your phone to give fake permissions to all of those other apps that want permissions for things.
I don't understand exactly how this works.
So here's the deal. These spy apps try and get into your microphone in order to, you know, take sensitive data, try and get into your contact list in order to get this information so that they can market to other people or what have you. So you have a second app give those pirate apps false information. And you call it the Permission Schmermission app.
Okay.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work on a stock iPhone. You'd have to have a rooted or a jailbroken iPhone.
Yeah.
But you know, there is a way that that could work if you had a jailbroken or rooted phone.
Yeah.
Like a rooted Android device. So that's an idea. The problem is, you're not going to get money so much for that app, I bet. Because once you have a phone rooted, you pretty much are not going to be paying for any apps for the rest of your life. See, I'm always trying to sell it. You said that last time, too. Yeah. You're like, why are you trying to market these things? It's just an idea. That's the entrepreneur in me, I suppose.
Well, I've got a better one. I mean, the permissions from permission is
no,
fine.
No, I like the idea. I'm trying to figure out how to monetize it, which is not the point. But I love the idea. What was your other brilliant invention?
Oh, this is genius, okay? I can't tell you the number of times that I've, you know, picked up a chocolate chip cookie and found out that it was oatmeal raisin. And it's one of the most infuriating things
are
in the world.
Picking this up off the floor? Where are you getting these cookies from?
From, you know, the grocery store or, you know, the lunch
opening
line.
Opening up the boxes and picking them up.
Yeah.
Deciding if you want to buy it.
And,
okay.
And it's oatmeal raisin. And that is probably one of the worst tricks in the universe.
Such a letdown. They need to color them purple. Yeah. So there's a unique color. Oh, speaking of that, we'll circle back to red velvet cake. I got to get back to that.
Okay.
Anyway, back to your cookies.
So the same thing happens with chocolate muffins and bran muffins. And I think, why not mix the two together? Why not make a chocolate bran muffin? So that way both people are upset.
Okay. Good luck with that.
I think you can get some good money off of that.
They should dye those stupid raisin cookies purple.
Yeah.
So you know it's like a purplish, raisinish color.
Right.
And that way there's no more
mistake. Not lied to.
Which is my chip in to your invention.
That's good.
But also, red velvet cake. We had a discussion about this last time.
Yeah, and even somebody jumped in.
And jumped in, and she just said, well, it's all about the frosting. And I'm not satisfied with that answer. Mm-hmm. I was not satisfied with that answer then. I'm still not now.
So you went deep in.
I went to a culinary school. I am not joking. I went into a culinary school and spoke to the headmaster.
You know, you can Google these things.
There's no story when you Google. And I went up to the headmaster chef dude and I said, tell me about red velvet, because I am feeling like I am being lied to. It's just dye. I'm like, I feel like it has to be just dye, but at the same time, I feel like it can't just be dye, right? What's the deal? And so he talked to me about the origin of red velvet and the first, like, I think it was like a hotel that invented it.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing was actually a necessity of process. There was no dye in the original red velvet. It was that they were using like a baking soda as the acid, and they needed to put in a base to counteract it.
Okay.
To cause a sort of chemical reaction.
Sure.
And they used beet juice.
Okay.
Beet juice was their base in red velvet.
Okay.
It wasn't about the frosting at all. It had nothing to do with it at the time. So it was they needed this sort of chemical reaction to give it a sort of rising and fluffiness.
Uh-huh.
And the chemical reaction of the baking soda and the beet juice would cause that reaction.
Sure.
And the redness came from the beet juice. Also, he said that some of the color also comes from the fact that there is cocoa in red velvet. There's cacao.
Okay.
It's chocolate in red velvet.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No, I don't think I've had very many red velvet cakes in my life.
I don't get a chocolate vibe from it, but, you know, I guess when it's not colored that way, you don't think it is. But he says, yeah, there is always cacao, or, you know, sort of a chocolatey essence in red velvet from the beginning. There always has been. He says now they don't use the beet juice, you know, that thing. There's more sophisticated, like, baking ingredients they use and stuff now.
Yeah.
So
like,
now,
like dye,
yes.
Like food color.
Well, but the reaction that you got from the baking soda and the beet juice was the reason why. They have other ways to create that reaction. So yeah, they got rid of the beet juice. So now it is dye. So now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know. I feel more complete. That trip to the culinary school was worth it.
Yeah. You were doing nothing else. You were just walking by a culinary school, and I'm like, maybe I can find out about red velvet here.
Coincidentally, that's kind of how it happened. Have you seen Black Panther yet?
No. No, I'll tell you, I don't know if I want to see it. Like,
what?
It's not a thing about, you know, it's not a social thing.
You racist pig.
It's just, I'm so tired of all of the Marvel movies. In the trailer for the Black Panther, it shows the Black Panther punching onto the ground, and then this big aura, and all of the other guys get knocked back, right?
Yeah.
Basic physics would say he would get knocked back, too. Why isn't he getting knocked back?
You didn't say that when Thor did it with his hammer all these years.
I have had these same problems. It just wasn't in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
A flying aircraft carrier is impossible.
Well, it has jets and turbines that keep it up in the air. It's
yeah,
not just
and it would break in half.
Why would it break in half?
Because you would need a level of precision on those jets to have this one do exactly as much as this one. If one of them falters for a half a microsecond, it's snapping in half.
We have Harrier jets that do it all the time.
Yeah, because the Harrier jet is the size of my phone.
I think it's a cool concept. And
it's a neat theory, but it's
I don't
impossible.
Call BS on it yet.
It's never going to happen in 100 years. We will never have a flying
Maybe
aircraft carrier.
Maybe not in 100, but... Look, I think...
But we will have a car flying through space.
I think there is a... Well, we already do. I think there's a realm of possibility with the flying aircraft carrier, but I think the feasibility is what would be really hampering it from ever happening.
We have aircraft carriers that snap in half just because they're sitting in the ocean.
Oh, because the front half and the back half?
Because the front half gets lifted up a little bit by the water, and the bottom half doesn't, and snap in half.
That happens now?
It's happened once. It's called brittle fracture.
Wow. But see, if they had jet engines on both sides supporting it, that's like saying wings are going to fly off of planes because of the way that...
It's a concept of scale.
Well, it did kind of fall apart in the movie, if you recall.
Yeah, it should never be able to lift out of the water. It would snap in half.
Well, I respectfully will have to agree to disagree. If Iron Man can make a suit that small that does all that, they can make...
That's another
that.
Problem.
Yeah, well.
I've just started playing Final Fantasy VI with my daughter. That's the one with Terra and Kefka. It's kind of... A narrow, you know, conversation topic, but we she's having a fun time, and she's weirded out by Kefka, but she's kind of enjoying it. And so we went to the Lego store and picked up a couple of 99, or we went to the dollar store and picked up a couple of Legos for like 99 cents and $1.99, and one of them was Beetlejuice, and she said, "This is Kefka." And even though we can resell that $1.99 thing for like $7 or $12, it's now Kefka.
That would resell for that much?
Oh, yeah. You can find all sorts of cheap stuff. You go to the not the pawn shop, because they'll check. But if you go to a Goodwill or a 99 cent store, you can find some stuff to resell.
I do Goodwill quite a bit. My wife, actually, really loves Goodwill. But I don't know. I don't feel great when I'm in Goodwill. I don't know.
Really?
Do I sound elitist?
That,
I don't know.
I believe that's the definition of elitist.
I feel, it sounds so bad. I feel kind of like I'm dirty or something.
Yeah, that's, wow.
I mean, I'm not above shopping there. My pants I'm wearing right now and this shirt that I'm wearing right now, I kid you not, are both from Goodwill.
Uh-huh.
They are. But
is this like some of my best friends are?
I'm not greater than anything, but I think it's just, the Goodwill feels dirty to me. It really does. It feels disorganized, disheveled.
I'll agree that it could use, you know, a couple of executives in there to kind of clean things up.
Go inside those changing rooms. The walls are disgusting.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm just saying, that's what I mean. I'm not saying the people who are there are all less than or whatever, but you know what I mean, right?
It does good things.
I feel like I need a shower every time I leave Goodwill.
Yeah, that's too far.
I'm bad, I know, but it's true. All right, well, I think it's about time to...
Yeah, I'm about ready to start crying.
I know.
Not going to do it. Read my lips. I don't know why my lips... Why did my lips make that sound?
Read my lips. Okay.
That's a good one.
That might have been visual. It might be hard to pick up on that one in audio.
All right.
Oh, Nelly.
I gotta go. You gotta go.
Let's
go be average elsewhere.
Are you as full as I am? Thanks for having lunch with us today. You can subscribe to the Let's Do Lunch podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play Music. We already made reservations at the next restaurant. Join us or we lose the good table.
Let's Do Lunch is sponsored by Boating Tech. Boating Tech is Arizona's leading smart home provider. You don't need to take out a loan to make your home smart. With packages starting as low as only $250, Boating Tech can start you on the path to simplified smart home living. Boating Tech, smart homes at smart prices. Visit us at BodineLLC.com. BodineLLC.com.